I'm Todd Wright, and continuing our this or that theme on the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, Brown or St. Brown will be the subject of today's podcast. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast presented by Hooters once again. This season, we thank Hooters for their continued presenting sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. 11 locations in the greater Tampa Bay area to serve you. OriginalHooters.com can provide you with the details on those 11 locations, as well as easy online ordering, thanks to Hooters for their continued sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. In addition, thanks to Pin Chasers, Brandon Legal Group, and Sean Sullivan, general manager of Bill Curry Ford and a defending champion in one of my leagues, for everything that he does to support fantasy football, my podcast, my efforts, and also what he does for JoeBucksFan.com and Ira Kaufman. Hey, in advance of this weekend, happy birthday to the sage. What is he, the custodian of Canton, as he is often described on his podcast via JoeBucksFan.com? Ira Kaufman is, I believe, either celebrating his 30th or his 130th birthday. I think it's one of them. Not sure which one. But he has supported my podcast. He's such a unique, entertaining, knowledgeable guy to talk football with, storytell with. Last year, on the opening Sunday of the National Football League season, I showed up where Ira was to watch a little bit of the 1 o'clock games, one of which was, I believe, the Bucks-Vikings game. And Rock Riley was there. Ira was there. I sat down. And the next thing I knew, I don't know, 75 minutes had gone by. And it was just nonstop storytelling, laughing, smiling. It was so much fun. What a terrific guy. And the Buccaneers in recent years who have gotten into the Hall of Fame very much appreciate the efforts of Ira Kaufman. I appreciate Ira as well. Happy birthday, Ira. Hope to see you this weekend. My email is write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. Updated data from hundreds of mock drafts done everywhere that's continually spitting out a consensus. This is all free content, much like my podcast is free content. That's why I thank Hooters and my other sponsors for allowing me to do things fantasy-wise the right way and offer you more and more as the years have gone on. Fantasy content has become something you have to pay for. I hate it as a fantasy player. I hate it as a professional in terms of someone who provides content. So I don't want you to pay for it. So that's why we have the sponsors doing what they do. And that's why I always attribute. And I believe there is some paid content on fantasyfootballcalculator.com. I've never paid for it. I don't mind saying that. You guys know I'm honest with you. But there's free content. And the data that they assemble from hundreds and at times, I think they get into the thousands when we get closer to draft time on the mock drafts, is invaluable because it gives you that knowledge of what's going on out there. And you know what? It's good if we disagree with it. It's good if you disagree with it. It can be. It could also expose that you need to rethink what you're doing. But I mean, I've already, in doing some of these podcasts, and this is just the seventh one, found some things that are going on out there with the fantasy data and the ADP and thinking, really? I could get that guy at a bargain Now, it may not apply to the people in my leagues. I'm going to be running multiple personal leagues again this year. All it takes is one, and suddenly the guy I'm waiting for that the data said nationally could be a bargain, and he's off the board. Or, as is often brought up, because I play against so many people who not only support these podcasts, but they listen to them, and it's me tipping my hand. Although that didn't happen last year when I drafted McCaffrey number one. I guess years of talking up Justin Jefferson worked to my advantage. No, you're never going to stop hearing about that because I have the trophy to prove it. So looking at current data as of the time of broadcasting this podcast with in 12-team leagues, looks like six wide receivers as of right now are most likely to go in a 12-team first round. In order, Hill, Chase, Jefferson, St. Brown, Brown, Wilson. Let's focus on the two guys whose last name ends with Brown, St. Brown and Brown. Currently, this data has St. Brown ahead of A.J. Brown. So let's look at both. I have owned both. I owned A.J. Brown, actually acquired him in trade at a trade deadline, and we generally do our trade deadlines later. I push it back using Yahoo. I push it back usually as far as I can. And I remember from 2021 when I won one of the podcast leagues and the $1,000 from Bill Curry Ford, that when I made that deal, Brown was hurt. And I made it simply with the intention of, I can do this deal now, and maybe he helps me win a championship. I don't need him right now, but maybe I will need him, and he will be healthy enough to give me another great option. And sure enough, I still remember this. For whatever reason, and I have many flaws, ask any woman who has dated me. One of my flaws is when it gets to the fantasy playoffs, I tend to not want to play guys who play in the Thursday night game. If you're saying, why? Now look, if it's Josh Allen, of course. But it's the guys, it's not the obvious ones, at least in my opinion. I just kind of want the 3 days to still think about what I'm doing. And it's cost me. So the year in 2021, and I ended up winning head-to-head against Ira that year for the league championship. I was so afraid Alvin Kamara was going to pull another Christmas miracle, and he didn't. I think that was the game the Bucks either won or lost 9-0. I forget if they won or lost it. It was just such an odd game. But the Thursday game involved the Titans. And I had a healthy A.J. Brown on my roster available to play. And the only reason I didn't play him, granted, I had other options, because how do you get to a fantasy championship unless you were playing other people? But there he was. For all the reasons I acquired him, it all played out exactly as I projected, and there he was. And there were people I respect like Matthew Berry sang. Yeah. If you have A.J. Brown tonight for the Titans, as long as he's not declared inactive 90 minutes before kickoff or gets hurt early in the game, I'd play, you know, saying, yeah, you play him. In the end, I didn't. And the only reason I didn't is because it was a Thursday night game. I'm like, ah, let me see how the rest of the weekend plays out. And Brown, I think, I know he caught double digits. He may have caught as many as 15 balls that night. So the numbers were great. I didn't get any of that because I didn't play him. Last year, maybe it's a Tennessee thing. Last year, I'm in the Foundation Championship against Joey from Tampa Bay Downs Golf. And the Titans are playing the Cowboys. And, or was this 2 years ago now? It was 2 years ago. Yeah, because it was Dalton Schultz. Do I have this right? Yeah, it was 2 years ago. For whatever reason, it wasn't a championship game. And Dalton Schultz was with the Texans last year. But a couple years ago, maybe it wasn't against Joey. I'm losing my mind. No surprise. I didn't play Dalton Schultz in kind of a similar scenario because it was a Thursday night game. And Schultz had two touchdown receptions and was a big part of that particular Cowboy win against the Titans. It's like, nah, you don't need to make this decision now. We'll procrastinate and we'll focus on these other guys. So that's my history with A.J. Brown. And that was back when he was with the Titans before the draft day deal to Philadelphia. And A.J. Brown's numbers in Philadelphia the last 2 years, depending on how you look at it, I was looking at Amon Ra's. Here are AJ's. So in 2 years in Philadelphia, you could say this is very consistent. 1,496 yards receiving in 2022. 1,456 yards receiving in 2023. 11 touchdowns in 2022. 7 touchdowns in 2023. Not going to give you any, he's not a Debo, not going to run a jet sweep, not going to do any of that stuff. He's going to fumble a couple of times a year. 88 receptions in 2022, 106 receptions in 2023, because he missed starting a game for whatever reason. Sorry, I don't know why it does that. Let's turn that volume down, please. Thank you very much. But the yardage is basically between 1,450 and 1,500. The receptions are between 88 and 106. 18 total touchdowns over the 2 years in Philadelphia. And that's why he's a wide receiver one. Now, what's interesting is this is where, you know how you better be careful if you're a fan of a particular team because you might have too much of a bias to certain players on your favorite team. It does help if you're friends with people who are fans of other teams, and here's why. Because they're going to make observations about their team players that you might not otherwise catch on your own. And I have friends like Joey who are Eagles fans who talked about last year how A.J. Brown was not consistent in terms of his game-to-game production. So if you go back and you look at the game-by-game breakdown, starting in like, I don't know, mid to late October, through November and then into like the fantasy playoffs where we get into that in December, the touchdowns weren't there. I think the yardage dropped off a little bit too. Now for the season, right? For the season, the numbers last year, 1,456 yards receiving, just 40 down from 2022. The touchdowns were down, but it was 7 as opposed to 11. But the point that some Eagle fans made was, like, as the Eagles suddenly struggled to win games or, like, lost that Jets game that knocked me out of my Survivor League, A.J. Brown wasn't, in their mind, getting it done. So the body of work looks good, but from a week-to-week standpoint, and one of my common themes, I know some of you listeners are surprised, I haven't talked about the whole get out of leagues with mandatory tight ends yet. You know, another one of my things is, you want starters who are going to give you double-digit points. If every starter you play each week gets you double-digit points, your chances of winning are pretty good. Now, in some cases, you're going to want more than 10 points, like, say, from your quarterback. Get that. But, for example, in our league, we start one quarterback, two running backs, three pass catchers. There's your mandatory tight end hedge. And a kicker. We start 7. If all 7 of those hit double digits, the worst I'm going to do is 70 points. I might win with 70. I might. And chances are, more than a few of those 7 are going to give me more than 10. Someone might give me 20. Then we're up to 80. That's what A.J. Brown wasn't doing. As the Eagles suddenly struggled, Brown struggled too. So the numbers early were really good, and then later they weren't. So from a fantasy standpoint, the body of work, when you step back and look at those yards, you know, 1,456, 7 touchdowns, and some of those are, you know, either after you've been eliminated from the fantasy playoffs or we don't even play those weeks in fantasy. Still, you're saying, well, thanks, AJ, for the 22-point games you gave me in late September and October. What the hell's going on in November? You're not helping me. I may have to not play you. All right, let's go to Amon-Ra. Let's see if I can fast forward to this real quick. Because I made a huge investment last year, and I know I'm not the only one, and I have no skin in the game in the Lions. I thought the Lions would be a disappointment last year. I thought they'd fall off. They did not. They ended up collapsing in the NFC title game. I again feel this year that I don't think the Lions are a Super Bowl team. And I'll leave it at that. I don't think they'll get to the conference championship game. I don't think they've learned from their mistakes. And I'm looking at you, Dan Campbell, because you lead this group. A lot of talent here. A lot of talent in their prime, and they've worked the salary cap well. And but yeah, I was wrong last year. Let's see if I'm wrong this year. Prove me wrong that the Lions can get back to the conference title game. I don't think they will. I think they'll lose in either. I think they're a playoff team, but I don't think they'll make the conference championship round. Amon-Ra last year, 1,515 yards, nice numbers, and he missed a game. 10 touchdowns. Did have a few rushing attempts, had one fumble lost. I know, as someone who owned Amon-Ra in multiple leagues last year, because I could get him in the second round of drafts. I think even one time I got him in the third round, but it was like the first pick of the third round. I think it was on the wraparound, so I don't know if that counts or not. I'm not going to do that this year. If I want to own Amon-Ra St. Brown this year, I got to take him in round one. So that'll depend on my draft position. Fair to say that we're broadcasting this on Monday, August 5th. It's going to take something pretty significant negatively to happen to Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jared Goff, acquisition of Brandon Ayuk. No, I'm not breaking news here. He's not coming to Detroit. But point being, that would affect how we think of Amon-Ra St. Brown from a fantasy standpoint. So I don't know if I can get Amon-Ra St. Brown this year. Amon-Ra last year for me was the receiver that I said going into drafts, I want to own him as much as possible. Let's go get him. That was the way I felt the year before on Tyreek Hill. I'm not sure who that is this year. Maybe I shouldn't even say it on the podcast because I'm playing against people listening to the podcast, but we'll see. But it's worked out for me the last 2 years. Going heavy on Tyreek Hill in 2022 in the draft, going heavy on Amon-Ra in 2023. And the point on Amon-Ra, and he did miss one game, his per-game consistency was terrific. Short of that injury that cost him a game and maybe some collateral damage from that just before in the game before and then before he started catching a couple balls in the next game, I never worried other than when he was out. Okay, unfortunately he's hurt, doesn't look too serious. We replace him this week. I didn't have that same feeling that Eagles fans or fantasy owners of AJ Brown had for second half of the fantasy season in particular on AJ Brown, where it was like, what's going on here? Why aren't I getting 100 yards out of this guy? Why aren't I getting more touchdowns out of this guy? What happened? What's going on with the Eagles? Never felt that way about Amon-Ra's role, about Amon-Ra's production, about his role close to the goal line, about Jared Goff having any issues with him, or about the Lions. It wasn't there. And even though I don't feel the Lions will win two playoff games this year, that's irrelevant to how I feel about Amon-Ra. Or I'll take it even further, how I would feel about Jared Goff being my quarterback, how I would feel about Sam Laporta, who is one of those few tight ends that in my non-mandatory tight end leagues, yeah, Laporta puts up enough numbers to merit being considered a starting pass catcher each week. I don't have to play him, but his numbers say, yeah, he produces like a wide receiver one or two or 2/3. And there aren't many tight ends who do. So Amon-Ra's, you could say, well, A.J. Brown's been more consistent the last 2 years. All right, I'll give you that. At least the stats say over the last 2 years, A.J. Brown's had more yards and barely more touchdowns. Amon-Ra had 1161 in yardage in 2022 and 6 touchdowns. How did he not score on that 58-yard run in 2022? Any Lions fan remember that play? So over the 2 years, Brown has produced more yards. Brown has produced more touchdowns. St. Brown is coming off the better year, the more consistent game-by-game year. We're talking about two very good teams, two very good offenses, led by two productive quarterbacks. We'll end with this. Nothing seemingly, until we see it otherwise, schematically or other news, has changed about how we perceive Amon-Ra St. Brown and his role and his volume with the Detroit Lions. He's the same guy. Some might say, well, they still have what, Jameson Williams? And yeah, I'll buy that when I see it. I know the Lions want to use Williams more. I'll believe it when I see it. And I don't know necessarily that if Williams becomes more of an impact guy for the Lions, I don't know that that negatively affects Amon-Ra. It might impact someone else's production. I'm not going to guess that it hurts Amon-Ra. Same quarterback, same OC, same head coach, and come a playoff game, going to make the same bad decisions. Yeah. So, but A.J. Brown, new OC, kind of a new vibe around the Eagles, all don't let the door hit you in the ass to their former coordinator. And Kellen Moore likes to throw to the slot. We'll see if Jalen Hurts likes to throw to the slot. Kellen Moore got use of that from Justin Herbert, and prior to that, Dak Prescott. We'll see if that translates to Jalen Hurts and translates probably more to Devontae Smith rather than A.J. Brown running from the slot. Could be wrong there. Maybe they bring A.J. Brown in more to run slot routes. It feels like it would be more Devontae Smith to me. So there's more variables coming off less game-to-game consistency for A.J. Brown than there is Amon-Ra St. Brown. Which is why I look at the data. I see Amon-Ra going just before A.J. Brown, both going in the first round, and I just nod in agreement. Perhaps you do not. Wright.Todd@Yahoo.com, Wright.Todd@Yahoo.com. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Hooters. We will talk to you next time.